Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Well, this is the podcast I told myself I would never record. But here we are. It's been about a month since my old dog, my best buddy and constant companion, Bally the dog, ran off to puppy heaven to chase rabbits and swim in the river and roll in the grass. And, you know, if you don't know, unfortunately, my old pooch, Bally the dog, 12 years old, he had to go. And so he taught me a lot. And today I'm going to give you the top 7 lessons from that little chocolate lab who changed my life. Okay. He was a really great mentor to me. And I wrote a book in his memory. It's called Unstoppable. It's about how I got through hell, how I overcame my anxiety, and how I was able to dominate in business and life. And the journey starts with him coming into my life in 2006. And he was with me as I wrote the final pages of the book earlier this summer. But for now, what we're going to do before that book comes out is we're going to dive deep into his big lessons that turned me from an anxious, introverted wreck into the man that I am today. And more importantly, the leader, the speaker, the coach, the father, the podcaster, and the influencer that I'll be today and tomorrow. And you're going to learn how to take the love and energy and enthusiasm, the puppy wisdom, the peace from a dog's heart, and apply it to your own life so that you become an unstoppable high performer, both personally and professionally, and so that you can dominate your days and leave a powerful legacy in life, just like old Bally the dog. Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio, and you'll want to grab a piece of paper and maybe some tissue paper as we recollect on some of the good times and the bad of Bally the Dog's mentorship along my hero's journey of the last 12 years, 13 years now. So you're going to laugh, you're going to cry, and you might laugh so much that you do cry as I reveal the perfect dog formula and what it means for you. Early to Rise Radio is brought to you by the Perfect Day Formula, not the Perfect Dog Formula yet, but the Perfect Day Formula, which is my best-selling book that Bally the Dog helped me write all the way back in 2015, and it shows you how to own your day and control your life. It's a perfect book to start with as you wait for our next book. The next one that he helped me write is called Unstoppable. It's coming out very soon, and we wrote that together during his final days here on Earth, all right? So please grab your free copy of freeperfectdaybook.com or download the audiobook from Amazon so that you can improve every area of your life. Now, what you're about to discover is why you must bring the E factor to everything that you do and the power of the pet effect for healing your stress and anxiety and why time is 700% more important than you think. And then the biggest lesson from Bally's big old heart. Now, years ago, I suffered from really, really bad anxiety attacks. And I had to do everything possible to overcome them. I did yoga, meditation, Qigong, all of these things that I really, quite frankly, had no interest in doing. But when you go through anxiety, you will realize you'll do anything you possibly can to get rid of it. But after a few weeks of trying all these things, it still wasn't gone. And so I decided, for many reasons, to go and get a dog, because I read that if you get a dog or a cat and you pet your animal, you will lower your blood pressure and your heart rate and decrease your anxiety. So when I first heard that, I thought, great, I'll do that when I'm an old man, and then had the anxiety attacks and had to put this into place a lot faster. So I was living in Toronto at the time, and I drove up to the countryside, went to a dog breeder up there. And he had a couple of puppies left over, and there was a chocolate lab and there was a black lab, and the chocolate lab came over and peed beside my leg, and I guess he was marking his spot because that was the message to me to take him home. And so I did. And, you know, we drove back into town and he was whining and crying along the way, and I was like, oh my goodness, what have I gotten myself into here? And then, you know, I tried to take him for a walk and he was really stubborn. He's really stubborn. He didn't want to walk around the block. He just wanted to lie down. And I was like, okay. And I was like, just kind of like dragging him around. And people were looking at me funny. And I felt really embarrassed. So eventually gave him up, took him back inside, you know, and he would pee on the floor inside. And, you know, the next day I took him to the park because I thought, hey, he's a Labrador retriever. He'll want to play fetch, right? You know, keyword retriever. So I take him into the park and I throw the ball. Nothing. Go and get the ball, come back. Now I'm playing retriever part here. And I throw it again. Still nothing. And he just wanted to lie down in the grass. So I take him back to the apartment. Third day I have him, I have to go to a bunch of meetings. So I leave him in his little crate in the apartment with toys and all this stuff. So he should be happy. Of course he wasn't. And so I came back to all of these notes on my door that says, oh, we're going to get you kicked out if you don't shut up your dog. And I realized he was confused and anxious and scared and frustrated. And I realized I'd bought the dog version of me. So for the first couple of weeks, he actually made my anxiety worse. But of course, he ended up being the best thing that came into my life. And so I was able to overcome my anxiety with the help of Bally the dog, my mentor. He taught me a lot of things, and we outlined those systems in the book Unstoppable that's coming out very soon. So he was definitely one of the greatest influences on my life up to his final days. And so I want to give you the top 7 lessons from old Bally the dog. Lesson number 1 is that you can't control others. Now, Bally the dog was definitely never going to get invited to that Westminster Kennel Club dog show, that thing they do at Madison Square Gardens every year, because he was not the best behaved dog. But that's my fault, of course. I did not properly train him. But, you know, when I'd walk around in Toronto and he was on the leash, I thought I had him trained, you know, but if he saw a half-eaten chicken wing on the ground, he was going for it, right? That was his instinct. You know, if he ever saw a cat, he would chase him like crazy. Man, he could see a cat from a mile away. But the weird thing was, is he didn't chase like other animals. He only wanted to chase cats for some reason. Never wanted to chase squirrels, anything like that. He just wanted to chase cats. But what I realized was, is that you can't control other people and their instincts, because, you know, other people will do things just like Bally the dog would do things that didn't make sense to me, you know, why he would want to eat some junk that had been lying on the ground for days, why he wanted to sniff every other dog's butt. But you can't control Bally the dog. That's what I learned. And you can't control other people. Other people are going to want to do things. Your boss is going to get in a bad mood. Traffic is going to be bad. People are going to get angry at you. Your relatives are going to be rude. I've got some relatives that say some really offensive things, and I can't change that. I can only control my reaction and my attitude. And I realized with Bally, like, okay, if I didn't train him properly and he walks like this, then I'll have to adjust the way that we walk, or, you know, take him to the park more often, the off leash, so he doesn't pull me around. And you can't control what you can't control, but you can cope with it. And that was a huge, huge lesson. Bally dog was a true Stoic philosopher. So that was a huge lesson for me to learn at first, because, you know, I would get mad at times, and then I realized how, I mean, you can't get mad at a dog. You just can't. I mean, it just is so pointless to get mad at a dog, because a dog, well, first of all, they don't understand English, which most people don't understand. You know, I see all these people talking in English to their dogs, like actually having conversations. The dog doesn't understand you. I know that you like your dog, but it doesn't understand you. And so I realized that. Realized I couldn't get mad at him, so I had to adjust my own habits and behaviors to reduce my stress. And that goes for anything in life. Lesson number 2, that time is 700% more important than you think. So everyone knows that one human year is about 7 dog years. It's actually fewer at first, so your dog at 3 years old is only about 15, but as it gets older, then it ages faster, I believe. Bally dog was born in late 2005, and so we were actually the same biological age in 2010. We were both around 35 years old, which was pretty neat. Now, eventually, he got to the point where he had been eligible for the seniors discount at Denny's a whole lot quicker than I was. And so here's the stark reality. Owning a dog is a harsh reminder that our lives pass even faster than you think. So 7 years in 1 year. And by the end, you know, he was 85, I guess you would say, maybe 90 years old. And that's a reminder, especially because of how fast the last year went by and how he changed so much in that last year. And you have to understand that You know, every time you talk to a parent of a 3-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, they all say, what do they say, right? What have you said? You say, I can't believe how fast they are aging. And so time isn't just 1 year, it's 700% more than that, especially if you own a dog. And so time is going faster, and that's a reminder that you have to go out and take action. You have to concentrate on what counts. You have to make the most of your days. You have to let this be a lesson to you to identify what matters both at work and at home. You've only got one life here on earth, and you better make it count in the short time that you have. Now, lesson number 3 from Bally the dog was to bring the energy. That's the E factor this dog had in life. My goodness, what I learned was that people want positive people and positive puppies too. And they would all be excited to see Bally the dog because he was so excited to see them. And sales is like that too. Sales is a transfer of feelings, as Bedros Koulian told me recently. It's a transfer of that enthusiasm and excitement. So if you don't have excitement about your message, if you don't have excitement about your work, about the thing that you're selling, about the charity you're involved with, if you don't have excitement, you're not going to get other people persuaded to take action and do things. And that's going to hold you back in life. And that's why I bring so much passion and enthusiasm to my presentations, because I learned that a long time ago. Now, I was not an enthusiastic speaker when I started. I was very boring, monotonous, very robotic. And so I had to change that in my life. And so I watch pastors, I watch comedians, I watch other great speakers. And here's, I'm going to say something that everyone's, I'm the only person in the world who says this, I think, but you should compare yourself to others. You should. I compare myself to Brendon Burchard. I look at Brendon Burchard on stage and I say, okay, I can be more energetic. I don't want to be Brendon, but I can be more energetic. I can be clearer and more concise. I can look at all those other speakers that have more jokes and compare myself to others and elevate myself in a good way. You can compare yourself to others in a positive way. And so I compare myself to Bally the dog. I realized, oh my goodness, look at the energy this puppy has. The enthusiasm for life, the love that he has. And so it was a reminder to me to up my game and elevate my game. So don't be afraid to compare yourself to other people that have not the things that you want, but the attributes, the character. That is what you want to model. Now then we move on into lesson number 4. And this one is action takers rule the world. My goodness, Bally the dog was an action taker. He was always getting out there and doing something. He was going and sniffing things. He was chasing things down. He was always, always taking advantage of every opportunity he had to get out there and explore. And so many people, well, you know, we don't do things for excuses and reasons. And, you know, we can have 101 excuses why we won't do something. But that doesn't get us anywhere in life, right? You're not going to be successful sitting on the couch. Bally the dog's best memories were not made when he was lying down on the bed. Although it was funny to see him lying on the bed. I mean, the dogs sleep in the weirdest positions because they just get so doggone tired. It's so funny. But he inspired me to go out and take action, to hit the ground running every morning. And so I know that action takers rule the world. And if you know that you should be doing something, as soon as you're done listening to this, I want you to go and commit and promise to Bally and say, Bally, thanks for this lesson. I'm going to go and do something right now, okay? So if you're holding back on that one thing, on making that presentation, doing that sales call, talking to that person, go and do it now because Bally would not wait. Lesson number 5 is to never, ever give up on what is important to you. So oftentimes, Bally the dog liked to trick people into feeding him twice. So when he would stay at my mom's, if I was out and she fed him either lunch or dinner and I came home, he would be trying to trick me into feeding him again. And once every like 6 to 9 months, it would work. And I'd feed him and then I'd go in and my mom would say, I just fed him. And I'd be like, oh, I just fed him too. And he'd have gotten 2 meals because that was important to him and he never gave up on it. And it was the same thing if he ever saw something on the other side of a fence that he wanted, if there was like some chicken bone scrap on underneath a wooden fence as we were walking in downtown Toronto and he could smell it, he was trying to get under there. Man, he would not have given up on that thing. And it's really a great lesson in persistence and consistency to go after what matters in your life. Now, here's the thing, is that Bally the dog knew what was important to him. Like I said before, he never chased squirrels for some reason. He would kind of go after rabbits for like a couple of steps, but it was the cat. The cat. If he saw a cat, and I don't know how he knew it was a cat from so far away, but if he saw a cat half a mile away, he would bolt. And it was something that was very important to him to catch those cats. I never did let him catch the cat. It would have been funny if he did. I don't know what he would have done, because I've seen him like go up against a groundhog before and they would just like have this stare down. I don't know what would happen if he got too close to a cat, because cats, Bally the dog was a lover, not a fighter. He probably would have got his ears boxed in by a cat, but he wouldn't give up on chasing it. That's for sure. Lesson number 6, life is short. Have fun, play in the mud, give lots of kisses, and don't take yourself so darn seriously, okay? Pee wherever you want sometimes. Not all the time, but pee wherever you want sometimes, as Bally the dog did. And, you know, he certainly had no shortage of kisses to give the world. He played hard. Man, he fell in love with my mom. So I basically like gave my dog to my mom when he was about 6, because I traveled so much. And so I only saw him a few days of the month when I'd go home and visit. And my goodness, he followed her everywhere. By the end of his life, it was actually painful for me to house sit at my mother's house, because she would go away on these trips and I'd go home and I'd watch the dog, and it would be just me and the dog in the house. And he would lie at the bottom of the stairs waiting for her, even though she wasn't there. Then he would mope around. He would get so depressed. And it was actually to the point where it was like, you can't go away anymore because this dog loves you so much. He doesn't really care about me. He would give me about 10 seconds attention when I showed up. But he was all about my mom, because she gave him more attention. She gave him ice cream. He got fat one summer because she gave him so much ice cream. It was actually the first summer that I gave the dog to her. And I was like, Mom, I think the dog's getting kind of fat here. And she's like, no, he's not. And then she took him to a kennel because we were both traveling and nobody could watch the dog. Nobody could house sit. And the person at the kennel said, I think your dog's getting fat. And that's when she stopped feeding him ice cream at night. the old grand dog, right? So listen, anyways, Bally the dog realized that life is short. Eat ice cream when you can. You might not always have access to it. So have fun, play in the mud. My goodness, that guy would go swimming. He would, if he could break through the ice in the wintertime, he would go swimming. If he could get into the muddy water, he would go swimming. And then he would drink the water, of course, and then that would have problems. But listen, he was about living life to the fullest and not taking himself too darn seriously. I'm definitely sure he did not take himself seriously. All right, final lesson. Lesson number 7. This is probably the most important lesson that Bally the dog can give to you. And it's love a lot more, worry a lot less. The first time that Bally the dog met his grandma, I thought he was going to die. He was so excited. I thought his little heart was going to beat out of his chest and his tail was wagging so hard. And she just talked to him in this little sing-songy little voice. And oh my goodness, oh, did he ever love that. And over the years, I've watched Bally greet everyone he meets with unconditional love. It almost turns ugly sometimes with young children, though, because I remember one time he was with like my friend's 18-month-old kid, and he just about jumped on the kid, who was barely learning how to walk. That was like one of the scariest moments I had with the dog, because old Bally the dog just gets too excited and jumps up on people because he loves so much. And so I learned that from him, because he and I couldn't have been so much different naturally, right? Here he is, so much energy, so much love, and here I am, so, you know, with my introverted tendencies and withdrawn and boring and monotonous and robotic and skeptical and cynical. And that served me well, actually, when I was in college, when I was in my master's of exercise physiology degree, and I had to study and I had to be skeptical and cynical of all these other research reports. But really, that cynicism and skepticism doesn't serve you well outside of that. And it handcuffed my relationships and slowed my personal and professional growth for many years. But because of Bally, you know, I had to end up talking to all these strangers on the streets. We met a lot of people living in Toronto. You know, he would want to say hi to everybody. And he taught me to live in love with an open heart. And so over the years, I've definitely opened up and definitely been able to live with that open heart and be more accommodating, be more welcome, and be less judgmental, and really, really go and break out of that introverted box, which has probably been one of the most important things for me. So he taught me to live in love with an open heart, to love unconditionally. This dog was 99% heart and 1% fur. I mean, if you weighed him, he would be 79 pounds of heart and 1 pound of the rest of them. That's what he was. Old Bally the dog. He taught me to forgive quickly because you had to with him, right? Because he would do something bad and then he'd look at you with those puppy dog eyes. He never look into those eyes, I told people, because he will get you to do whatever he wants once he does. So the heart of the dog knows no limits. And now I know that mine has no limits either. And neither does yours. So if you're skeptical, cynical, if you need to repair a relationship, take the advice of Bally the dog and lead and live and love with your heart. All right. So take those lessons from my dog to heart. Please, please, please. He left them here for us to go and reflect on and be better people. So love more, forgive more, and make more of the time you have with the people that you love. So old Bally the dog, he was about 12, just over 12 and a half when he passed away in August. And he, he aged so fast. So I went away for 30 days this summer and I came back and I was like, who took my dog and replaced him with this old dog? And he could barely walk and I had to lift him up. And, he couldn't actually use his hind legs on the final days. And so it was so sad, because it felt like just yesterday, because time goes so fast, that he was following me everywhere and barking. And I'd look at pictures of him when he was younger. I'm like, oh my gosh, look how lean and mean he looked. So good. But now he didn't move. He didn't bark. He was barely ate. And I didn't know what to do. And at the time, the not knowing was the thing that drove me mad, because I didn't know the timeline of it. Man, and then the worst thing was I went in. I thought, he'd be around for another month or so. And they, the vet said something, like I even asked about next week and the vet didn't say anything. And man, that's when it hit me the hardest. So it was, the last week was the hardest with the old pooch. And when we had to make that tough decision. So I took him out into the backyard one more time. And I swear he would just put his nose up and he'd survey his kingdom, because we had this backyard on the farm and he can just go out there for half an hour. He'd go and do his little loop and he'd go down to the river and he'd bark at some varmints and then he'd come back and he'd scratch on the door 30 minutes later. It was so perfect. It was so perfect. I mean, he had the best life. And then he'd come and he'd hang out with, when he was at grandma's house, he'd hang out with her in the garden. And so I took him out in the backyard one more time and he put his nose up and I could see that he wanted to get up and run, right? But he couldn't. And so that's when we had to make that decision. It was harder than I thought it would ever be. It was 10 times harder, because I realized it's not just the dog, right? It's everything that you have wrapped up and emotionally connected to and invested in the dog. You got that dog at a certain point in your life, right? You're going through certain trials and tribulations. There were certain people in your life that might not be in your life anymore. And so all of the last 12 years of my life were just wrapped up. I mean, it was that dog was the last 12 years of my life, and everything I'd done and all the great things I'd accomplished, all the people that had met him that I had talked about, all the emails that he had written to you. If you've ever written an email from Bally the dog, I wrote a whole bunch of those in the fitness world. All of that wrapped up in that dog, the promise, the growth, the pain, the failures in my evolution as well, and all the struggles I did have and any struggles that stayed with me, all wrapped up in that dog. Now, a dog does so much for you, and you can be sad about when they're gone, but you can't not go and get that next dog, I think. So he changed the world for me, came into the life at my lowest point, and my next dog is going to come into my life at a different point. And I understand that. And the next dog is going to leave before me and I'm going to have to deal with this again, but it's all worth it because of the lessons that you learn. He taught me to love unconditionally, to have energy and enthusiasm for life, and to welcome with open arms, to give and to be happy being me. And so I know it sounds silly, but I was super proud of that dog. His ability to lick an almond bar, butter jar spotless with his long tongue. He would sit there and he would figure out ways to get to the bottom of it. It was pretty funny. And he, I was proud of how he entered a room so excited and he whipped his tail around. And he did chase a deer as well. And so one time he chased a deer and he got lost in the cornfield. And he had no hope in heck of catching the deer, but it was so awesome to see him in the prime of his life. And I loved his stinky breath and the goofy, slightly embarrassed look when he would squat to poop on the neighbor's lawn. It looked like he was kind of ashamed and he was getting caught for it, but so funny. And one last thing is that every day I would come downstairs. People always ask me what my morning ritual is. And so I'd come downstairs, 3:57 a.m., the alarm goes off. I come downstairs and I will lie on the ground, and Bally the dog will climb on top of my chest, and he will just sit there and he'll put his head against my chest, and we would just hang out for about a minute. And then he would get up and he'd step on my balls. It would hurt so much. So I had to like put my, you know, protect myself. And then he would go and he'd go back to sleep and I'd go and do my writing. And we'd do that every day as much as we could. It was something we started when he was a puppy. So it crushed me though when he couldn't do it anymore and he didn't want to greet anybody at the bottom of the stairs. And so Bally the dog, dog who never played fetch, the very good dog who didn't chew your shoes. He never did that. Bally the dog who touched hundreds of thousands of lives with his advice columns in his old Turbulence Training newsletter and now with his lessons here in the podcast and soon with his wisdom in the Unstoppable book. So the one and only, the Bally the dog, you were just what I needed. So there you go. I hope that you enjoyed this tribute to my mentor, Bally. He changed my life. Please let me know what you think of this episode. It was a fun one to do. I love that little guy. And it's always good to remember how goofy he was. They're just goofy little guys. And I hope if you have a dog or even a cat, I'm not a big cat guy, but if you do have a cat, you know, go and pet their belly today and be grateful for them. So if you like that show, let me know. Send me a direct message on Instagram at RealCraigValentine or email me at support@earlytorise.com. Until then, let me know what you think of today's show. Head over to iTunes. Give us a review and a 5-star ranking. We really appreciate it. Like I said, Bally the Dog was one of my mentors, just like Bedros Koulian and Matt Smith and Joel Marion, my friends and my coaches today. So the four of those guys were my biggest influences in the last 12 years. So Bally inspired me to create a little system. And if you want to learn more about how we help build your perfect life in your business, visit perfectlifeworkshop.com right now to apply to work with me at my next coaching event near you, okay? I can't wait to meet you and hear about your puppy dog or your cat or your family or whatever it is that really matters most to you. And then we're going to build your business around your life and not your life around your business so that you have more time to focus on what matters and be more successful in life, all right? So if you want to grow your business faster and have better work-life balance, go to perfectlifeworkshop.com today and we'll help you build the perfect life. And talk to you soon.